ShasIlluminated.org presents the following shiur by Rabbi Levi Langer. Maseches Makos is dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Shmuley Katz Le'ilu Nishmas Yisrael Bended Ben Yehuda Aryeh.
Maseches Makos, Daf Chof Aleph. The Gemara on Chof Aleph Amid Aleph discusses the Lois HaSei in the Torah of Hakofas Pa'as HaRoish, Lois HaKivu Pa'as Roishchem, which is rounding the corners of the head, shaving off the peis haroish, the sideburns. That's hakofas paas haroish. And then later on the Omud, the Gemara discusses the lois haseh of being megaleach, the paas hazokon, shaving with a razor, like we'll see, the paas hazokon, the corners of the beard. And you have independent lois haseh in the Torah of being makif, the paas haroish, the peis of the head, and being megaleach, the paas hazokon. There is a big machloikas rishayin between Tosis and Shvuos against the Rambam, benegeya, to a very fundamental question. We know, and the Gemara is going to talk about this later, and we'll see about it, we'll talk about it, that the iser of being megaleach, the paas hazokon of the beard, is only with a tar, it's only with the razor, and the Gemara says a couple of special qualities that the razor has. It's a giluach, it's called the act of shaving, and it is a hashchosa, it's mashchis, it destroys up to the skin, like we'll see. So these are qualities that a razor has, and that's the only way that you're over on the iser of giluach paas hazokon. Tosis and Shvuos Daf Bei raises the question, is this equally true about the hakofas paas haroish? It's possible that I learn from zokon to roish, I don't have special psukim by roish, but like the Ritva brings down over here the shiloh, the Ritva discusses the shiloh, and he says it could be I learn from one to the other, so maybe this is equally true of the hakofas paas haroish, and according to that, let's say we'll assume that there's certain types of shavers or whatever it is, scissors, which I'll be able to used to shave the beard, and won't be over on that, I'll be able to likewise do that with the Pa'as HaRoish as well, because the Pa'as HaRoish would have the same leniencies as the Pa'as HaZokon. So Tosis says that that's not the case, and we'll see in a moment about this, that Tosis comes out, lahalacha, that the shaving, the makif of the Pa'as HaRoish has more strictness than the Pa'as HaZokon, and it's also b'chol gavni, even if it isn't with the razor. That's the Shitas HaTosis, and the Rambam argues on that, as we'll talk. The Rambam is mavur in the Yad and Hilchot Avodah Zokachovim that the Pa'as HaRoish likewise are only usher only if you're going to leach patar. Like we'll see the details on that. The Goin and the Bir HaGron Shulchan Aruch and Kof Pei Aleph writes that the pashtus of Elas Sugya in the simple reading of the Sugya is mevur like the Tosis, and of course we are machmir, we go with the Tosis, and that's what we hold, that you can't use whatever types of hetedik shavers you would use on the beard, you can't use them for the sideburns for the Pa'as HaRoish, because we hold that the Pa'as HaRoish has no heterium like Tosis. The Goin says, you look in our Gemara, and first the Gemara discusses the Is of the Pa'as HaRoish and doesn't give any special limitations to it, Hakofa Pa'as HaRoish, and then when it gets to Pa'as HaZokon, the Gemara says, he brings down the Mishnah, Ein Echayev Achiyat Lenu Betar, only with the razor, and that the Gemara brings the Pasuk, Tanu Rabbanan of Pa'as Zekonam Lo Yigalechu, etc., and it brings down some Droshes on Giluach and Ashchosa, it's only with a tar, only with a razor, and that's focused on the Pasuk of Pa'as Zekonam Lo Yigalechu, that the Goin says, the Goin says that the Pashas Haloshan of the Sugya and of the pasuk that the sugya brings is mavur like Tosis, which we go with Tosis, that the leniencies that you have, a certain types of giluach, shaving being permitted on the beard, is applicable specifically to the beard, and you don't have any such leniencies benegeya to the Pa'as HaRoish, when they get to the payas of the head, the sideburns. Now, Tosis, in Shvuos Daf Beis, doesn't consider this to be a big raya. Tosis clears it for a shayla, and Tosis actually writes that his raya, in his opinion, that there are no heterim on the Pa'as HaRoish, and it's not specific to a tar, not specific to a razor. Tosis brings a raya to this from a sugi in Nozir. Just Bekitz and Nimrods, the sugi in Sechta Nozir learns out, first of all, it learns out that the halacha is that you know by a Metzayra, when the Tzaras leaves him, the special halacha is in the beginning of that he shaves off all of his hair, including all the payas. And the Gemara over there brings on a drasha, a special limit from the Krof on the Pasuk, that when the Metzayra shaves off all of his hair, that includes even the Pa'as HaRoish. So the Asay of Giluach Metzayra is Doicha, the Lois Asay of being Makif, the Pa'as HaRoish. So that's a drasha the Gemara brings. Later on the Omud, the Gemara tries to figure out how you know what's the source in the Torah that Giluach of a mitzayer that is shezel full of his hair has to be done dafka with a tar, dafka with a razor, and the Gemara brings the alfusa, a posik for that. Frektoisis, why did the Gemara question this, and why did the Gemara need a special posik? Why don't they say that it's obvious based on the following? Since I just put a special drosha that the giluach of a mitzayer is doicha hakofas pa'as haroish, so if hakofas pa'as haroish will be only with a razor, it's the only way to violate it is with a razor, why do I need a dechia? Why do I need an override if giluach of Mitzayra is without a razor? I just do a giluach mitzayra without a razor, and I won't be over on the lois haseh of hakofas pas haroish anyhow, which is dafka with a razor. So the fact that I have a special posik, a special drosha in the craw that the Gemara brings, that you need a posik to tell me that giluach mitzayra is doiche hakofas pas haroish, and that itself would indicate to me that giluach mitzayra is dafka with a tar, because otherwise, if it wouldn't be dafka with a tar, then I wouldn't need an override for pas haroish, which is dafka with a tar. The fact that the Gemara doesn't bring this source and leads to a different yalfunsa, that indicates to me, Zoktoisis, you see clearly that it's not true that a kofas pas haroish is even without a tar, and that's why the Gemara has strong svara in the half a minute to say that giluach mitzayra is also a mitzvah that's miskayim without a tar, and you still need the override because a kofas pas haroish is always in violation even without a tar. As consequently, I don't have any source from giluach mitzayra overriding a kofas pas haroish. There's no source from there. It's dafke betar. Giluach mitzayra is dafke betar, and that's why the Gemara needs a special drosha. A little bit of a cheshbon, a calculation there. But Kaponim Tosis claims that there's a very strong raya in the sugi Masechta Nazir that the giluach of the hakofa, rather of the pas haroish, is even without a tar. The Ma'aseh of the Rambam argues on this, and he'll say vodzak chovim. And the shita of the Rambam is that a misparayim to use a scissors to trim all the way down the pas haroish is not aser on the pas haroish. Even on pas haroish, the Rambam doesn't aser it. Loi nesar el hashchosa betar. The Rambam says that we only aser the hashchosa destroying with a razor. And the Rambam, in this sense, equates hakofas pas haroish to hakofas pas hazokon. The Ritva over here clears that perhaps even according to the Mekilim, which is the Shitas HaRambam, and they hold that there's no Isser to trim all the way down the sideburns, the Pa'as HaRosh, with the scissors, with the Misparayim, the Ritva still clears that maybe with a Malakat Verhitni it would be Osir, and it would be a Lois HaSeh. Now Malakat Verhitni, we'll talk about it a little later, there's a big Machloikas Rishonim, what Malakat Verhitni is. The Gemara says Malakat Verhitni is not a problem by a beard. The Rambam sheet in the Perish Mishnayos over here is the Malakat Verhitni is types of tweezers. And we're talking about tweezers that pluck the hairs all the way out from the roots, they totally pluck them out, they leave the skin totally smooth, and Avopi came by the beard. We don't answer that, like we'll see, we don't have a chiv on that, but the Ritva clears, what's the story b'negeya to the Pa'as HaRosh? Maybe even on Nemon, like the Shitas or the Mekilim, like the Rambam, that the Pa'as HaRosh, you let it trim all the way down with the scissors, maybe if I pluck it out in Gansin, I leave it totally clean skin with the Malach of Rehitni, so perhaps that's going to be a chiv, Eloisa say anyway, b'negeya to the maybe even if I'm ankle on the Pas HaRosh to use the scissors, I would still be Mechayev Yom Malach of Erhitni. And this is Tut Stodim, it's a Shaila in the Ritva. The Mitzvah Sorotskin over here, the Gvuris Yitzchok, makes the following chloristical, lomdische conceptualization of the Sugi. He says like this, that Be'emes Zokter, that let's start from Tosis, which we Paskin like, and Tosis and Shuiz holds that the Pas HaRosh, if any Hakofas Pas HaRosh, even with the scissors, is going to be Osir, it's not the to the Pas HaZokon. So that the Lomdusha Avekstel, the way to understand this is that there's two different concepts that are being Nesar, one by Pas HaRosh and one by Pas HaZokon. By Pas HaZokon, we're answering is something called a Maisa Giluach. We are at Pas HaZokonam Lo Yigalechu. You can't do a Maisa Giluach. The Maisa Giluach has certain qualities to it. It has to be a destructive, destroys the hairs all the way down, Giluach Shiesh Pas HaZokon, like we'll see. But it's the act of shaving, the Maisa Giluach, the shaving with the razor at the Torah is answering. Mashain came b'negeya to the Pas HaRosh, the Torah never mentions anything about an act of giluach. Over there it says, loy sakifu Pas HaRosh, which is not to round off the corners. In other words, the issur over there is to create a situation in which the hair is totally rounded and you don't have the payas jutting down. In other words, it's the generating of that matzav, of that eventual circumstance. That's what's usher. It's not the maisa giluach like you have by giluach Pas HaZokon, that's also the activity of the giluach, but rather the generating of the effect effect that I'm rounded off the corners of the head that they're rounded. That's why, according to Tosfos, works out very well that the Isser of Hakavas Pasa Roish doesn't depend on what implement I use, what instrument I use to bring about this matzav, whether it's a Maisik Iluach or not. Either way, I was makif to Pasa Roish. Masha'en Kane, according to by the Pasa Zokon are also because of a special thing called Maisik Iluach, and anything that doesn't fall into that act of shaving with a razor, like we'll see, is not going to be included in the Lois essay of Pas HaZokon. That's all according to Tosfos Zokta. Masha'en Kane, according to the Rambam, it's possible that they're totally equated. They're totally the same, because the Rambam holds that trimming with the scissors, the side burns, the Pas HaRosh is actually mutter. However, Zokta, you see from the Ritvo, that the Ritvo held that a filu in the Das HaRambam, it could be that they are going to be Cholok, and that therefore, let's say the way Rambam understands Balakav Rehitni, you're allowed to use a tweezers to pluck out the hairs of your beard, you still cannot use the tweezers to pluck out the hair of the sideburns. Moreover, the Gvuris Yitzchok feels that that's actually mashma like that, said in the Lashon of Rambam in the Yad, that's what he feels. The Rambam is actually mashma, the Balakav Rehitni is chayav on the Pas HaRosh, and he says the hezbeter it is that the Rambam is actually masking be a soid to the lomdus that emerges from Tosfos and Shavuos, and the soid of the lomdus. In other words, that by the giluach of the Pas HaZokon, it's only also because of a maisa giluach, an act of shaving. The plucking with tweezers is not called the act of giluach, and therefore, even though you end up with the end result that the hair is smooth, afal pikein, you're not going to be in violation of lo yigalechu, that's by the Pas HaZokon. Masha'en ken the Pas HaRosh, it doesn't make a difference how you generated the end outcome, even if you use a tweezers or not a share razor, whatever you happen to have used, as long as the outcome is totally smooth, it's going to be actually a veira of the malchus of lo yisakifu Pas HaRosh, because you end up with a hukaf dikka rounded off corner of the Pas HaRosh. It happens to be the Rambam holds that there's no iser on rounding in the corners with a misparayim, with a scissors which don't trim all the way down, but that's a gevissa kula the Rambam had a misparayim. But he says that according to this understanding, the Rambam and the Tosfos are in agreement on the yisoid hadvorim that there's two different lomdus in hakofas Pas HaRosh is generating the end outcome of having been rounded off, regardless of how you generate it, with a razor or not, whereas the hakofas HaZokon the Giluach Pas HaZokon, that's totally in the Maisi Giluach, which is Dafka with a razor. The Gvuras Yitzchok wants to use this Yesoid to infer a difficulty in the Rambam's Lashon, which is discussed by the Kesef Mishnah in Chosavot Gachovim, and it's also discussed by the Sefer HaChinuch. The Rambam, Benegaya to the Hakofas Pa'as HaRosh, brings down that utilizing a scissors on the Pa'as HaRosh is mutter. That's the Shitas HaRambam, and he actually says that it's mutter to use a scissors on the Pa'as HaRosh. When the Rambam gets to using a scissors on the Pa'as HaZokon, which we grab a paskin in Shulchan Aruch that it's mutter to use the scissors on the Pas HaZokon, the Rambam's Lashon is that it's potter. Gilach b'misparayim potter. And this is a big gevissa shaila. There is actually a machloikis hapoiskim, machloikis vishenim about this point. Is this some sort of a gezeir derabonon not to utilize misparayim on the beard? We paskim lahalocha that it's mutaluk, we call a kolo. But is there an iser derabonon to utilize the misparayim on the beard? And the Rambam's Lashon is gilach b'misparayim is potter. Because the Mishnah, however, says that it's impossible to say that that Lashon of potter is dafka, because why would anybody say such a thing, Zokter, that the Rambam is going to be more machmir and misparayim on the Pas HaZokon than the misparayim on the Pas HaRosh? On the Pas HaRosh, Rambam says befeirish black on white that gilach misparayim is actually mutter, it's permitted. So what is the beard going to be more chomer on the Rabbanon level for some reason? To utilize scissors on the beard is going to be isad Rabbanon, it's just potter, in other words, not mutter, even though on the Pas HaRosh we actually were matter it. It's not mistaver and doesn't make sense, Zokter, that the Chazal be goyzer and misparayim only on the beard, and therefore you have to say that the Lashon of Potter, because the Mishnah says that the Rambam used, is just agav greira of the Gemara, which discusses chayiv and potter when it talks about misparayim by the beard, and it's lav dafke, just agav the Gemara, but really in reality the Rambam holds the misparayim are totally mutter on the Pas HaZokon, even the Rabbanon, just like on the Pas HaRosh. However, the Sefer HaChinuch in Reish Nun Beis makes the Deek in the Rambam, and he understands the Rambam Kipshutai. The Sefer HaChinuch says that the Rambam understood that the Rambam says the Gilchem is Parayim on the Pa'as HaZokon is Mutter, and he says the Rambam learned that Chazal Goyte the Rabbanon, that you're not allowed to. The Rambam said, in other words, Gilchem is Potter on the Pa'as HaZokon, and that's because, according to him, Chazal made Exer the Rabbanon not to use Misparayim on the beard. And of course, there's a very big kasha on the Rambam, Lefi the Sefer HaChinuch, why did Chazal make that Exer Dafka on the beard to ask Gilchem is Parayim and not on the Pa'as HaRosh? Zokt of there, and the Gvuris Yitzchok, but the way I'm learning, you can understand it. Why? Because it comes out a sharf azach. If you think about it, we're saying that the Rambam is in actually fundamental conceptual agreement with the Tosfos, and both of them hold that there's a fundamental difference between the esoid of the iser hakofas paas haroish and the iser of giluach of the paas hazokon. One of them is the maisa giluach, the activity that you did, the label that's labeled the giluach, and that's the paas hazokon, paas zekonim lo yegalechu. Mashenkin, the din hakofas paas haroish is not a din of the maisa giluach, rather it's a din of the outcome that was generated, that it ended up being hookah, rounding off the corners, like it says, loisakifu, regardless how you generate that outcome. Zoktav, then the Gurus Yitzchok, so I can understand the point of that like this. If Chazal are going to consider making a gezeir derabbanan and misparayim, we're going to say, in other words, that since misparayim have a maisa, fundamentally it's a maisa giluach, right? It's not like the makas v'rehitni, according to the Rambam, which are types of tweezers and have nothing to do with a maisa giluach at all. It's a fundamental act of using a scissors is an act of similar to sheish cutting with a razor. It's a maisa giluach. It just happens to be, it doesn't have the quality of giluach sheish by hashchosa. It doesn't go all the way down to the skin, but it is a maisa giluach. So if Chazal will say, you know what, since it's a maisa giluach, when I aser it medabonon, the maisa giluach of a scissors, otu, the maisa giluach of a razor, which is a giluach sheish by hashchosa. That's all benegir to the paas hazokon, which over there, the asoid of the lois, I say, the rais is to do a giluach. Rather, the rais is only violated if you do a giluach all the way down to the skin, giluach sheish by hashchosa. But since the asoid of the iser is a maisa giluach, so Chazal came along at the rabbanon level, and they said that the giluach misparayim, even doesn't go all the way down to the skin, is also the rabbanon. Ma she'en kein the paas haroish, where the asoid is has nothing to do with a maisa giluach at all, and the Torah doesn't call it giluach. Over there, the asoid of iser is loy sakifu, not to generate the circumstance that it's hukaf, and scissors don't go all the way down to the skin, and consequently it ends up not being truly a hukaf paas roish, because it didn't take away all the hair of the paas haroish, of the sideburns. And mail over there, then again to the paas haroish, you don't have any yesoid, any foundation with which to answer on the rabbanon level the giluach of parayim, because one thing by the zokon, by the beard, with a maisa giluach is what's also in the Torah. So we're answering the maisa giluach of misparayim, or to the act of the giluach of the tar of the razor. Mashenkin on the head with the maisa giluach wasn't even addressed by the Torah. It doesn't say like galeichu at all. It just addresses the outcome that it's smooth and it's rounded. All the corners that it had are completely rounded off. So since misparayim, a scissors doesn't generate that outcome because it doesn't go all the way down to the skin. So therefore, consequently, there's no foundation with which to answer the isad rabbana of giluach misparayim, and that's what Ram is very good, the Chinuch Rambam is good, the Chazal asked Giluach Misparayim at the Rabbonon level on the Paas HaZokon, they did not ask Giluach Misparayim, even the Rabbonon, on the Paas HaRosh. Now the Gemara over here, in the Yesoidi Yesika discussion of the Isav Giluach Paas HaZokon, the Gemara says that we only have a loisa say of shaving the Paas HaZokon, only if you fulfill the Tupsukim. One of them is Leisashchis, and the other one is Pasukonim Lo Yegalechu. So we're only going to ask her if it's a Giluach, and it's a Giluach Shiyesh by Hashchosa. And mainly, therefore, the Gemara says that since if I would have just had a pasuk of Lo Yegalechu, I would ask a Giluach Misparayim, I would ask her a scissors, which is an act of Giluach. But no, the scissors don't do a Hashchosa. They don't, Pashtas means it doesn't go all the way down to the skin like we'll see. The scissors don't give you a very close shave. And therefore, consequently, it's not called Giluach Shiyesh by Hashchosa. That's why the scissors are not included in the Loisa say. Okay, but if it would just have Leisashchis and wouldn't say Yegalechu, I would have included Malacha Verehitni. What's Malacha Verehitni? So this is a big machloikis Rishonim. The Rambam, like I mentioned before, writes in the Perish Vishnayas here, the Malacha Verehitni are types of tweezers, and you pull them out and they do a true act of Hashchosa, they mamash destroy the hairs. However, they're not an act of Giluach. They don't shave in a razor manner, they don't cut, and therefore, consequently, they don't fulfill the other pasuk of Galechu, and that's why there's no Loisa say of Malacha Verehitni. Rashi Shita, in different places in Shas, and a number of places in Shas, Rashi says Malacha Verehitni are types of planes. Rashi actually refers to them as types of planes. Therefore, the Vart of planes is, in other words, these are actually flat, sharp pieces of metal that are quite similar to a razor, and you really could use it in the manner of razor and get a close shave. However, as Rashi says, in different places, it's not the derech to use a Malacha Verehitni, and since it's not the derech, it doesn't fulfill the pasuk of Lo Yegalechu, which refers to shaving in the manner that's the derech of Giluach. Consequently, Rashi has, that's Rashi's Malacha Verehitni, then it's Mayat, even though it's basically an act of shaving with a razor, it's not the derech of Giluach to use these planes, and therefore It's nesmayet from the pasuk of lo yegalehu. That's basically the Gemara. Now, be'emes the Mugi Yosef over here, an important piece of Mugi Yosef right over here, is mevuah beferish that the vort of why a misparayim, a scissors, doesn't fulfill the pasuk of giluach sheyesh bo hashchasa, doesn't fulfill a shashchis, what this doesn't destroy, so to speak. What's the reason? So he says beferish the Mugi Yosef that the reason is shaharei nishar shom hasar. In other words, he says beferish that the reason is it doesn't go all the way down to the skin, it leaves you some here, and the scissors, in other words, has scissors can't give you that close of a shave. It's not like a razor that shaves smooth down to the skin. And therefore, consequently, that's not called yesh b'hashchosa. It doesn't destroy all the way down to the root. It doesn't destroy all the way down to the skin. It leaves some hair. And be'emes, according to that, when the Shulchan Aruch paskens l'halacha that you're allowed to use a misparayim, we pass like the ladina, the aside would be that it leaves some hair intact. And that's why be'emes, when there was discussion among kama v'kama, a very big gedolim in the 20th century, b'negeah to the shaving, and the yeshiva light all shaves, of course, and the European yeshivas, and you could see all the pictures, and all the very, the choshev yeshiva light, everybody was shaving, and the discussion that the poiskim, that the gedolim had over there was, when it get to how close the shave is. There's a discussion of this in a number of choshev sforim. The Licha Shloimer, Shlomo Zalman Orbach, has an important discussion of it in the Licha Shloimer Tfilin, page Yir Aleph, and others sforim, the Michas Yitzchak, the Chelik Dalet, Kufiyud Gimel, others for many, a number of sforim discuss this, they get into a big arichus, and they all have a whole discussion, but again, to how close the shave is. Is the shave considered to be so close with these shavers that they were using? Is it so close that it's considered to be a giluach sheyesh b'hashchasa, and it's the equivalent of a razor? Or it's not so close, and therefore it wasn't such a close shave with the implement that they were using, and consequently you could be matirit. And that's why Rabbi Shlomo Zalman brings down that Rabbi Chaim Moizu was matirit for the B'nai Yeshiva, Yeshiva light. As you may be familiar, the Chavetz Chaim in a very, very important shtickle right over here in Makis, over here, by Mamish over here, in Lekutei Halachos on Makis, the Chavetz Chaim has a set of form called Lekutei Halachos, which is Hashlama to the Rif, in different Mesechtas of Shas, and the Chavetz Chaim, Lekutei Halachos, right over here, has a discussion on the bottom of the page in the Ein Mishpat, where he says that those people who are using the shavers that are used today, and they think that it's mutter, the Emes Zokte, they're being over on, the Lois HaSeik, because it is a Giloch Sheyesh B'Hashchasa, and there's no head to the shave. On that, Rosh Hashanah brings down that the Yeshiva light, they were knowing that they did shave, and Rav Chaim Moizer was masking that it was mutter against the Chavetz Chaim. Why, Zokte, Rosh Hashanah Zalman? Because it wasn't a close shave, and the same is true in Kama Sforum that they all get into this thing. It's brought down from the Hartzvi, the Chavis Hartzvi, and Chavis Frank that was matter because the shave wasn't so close. And this is all based upon this one Havchana, this one guideline that's Mavur in the Mukhi Yosef of Anord, that the fundamental question of whether it's Yesh by Hashchasa or not Yesh by Hashchasa is a question of whether it leaves some hair or not. And that's why, in the discussion of Rosh Hashanah Zalman Orbach and Alicha Shloimer, he says that we find sometimes that things which were the Gedolei Olam were matter them based upon the Metzias of those times, and people continue to matter it without realizing that the Metzias changes. And he gave one classic example that it says there in Licha Shloima, a classic example is shaving with a shaver. Because he says that at the time of Chaim Moizu was Mako, the shaving wasn't as anything like as close as it is today, a close shave that you can get today from the shavers. And in Meila, Chaim Moizu was Taka Matir, but Mashen came today with the shavers, it can't be Matir, because it's a much closer shave. And he's all going with this litmus test, which Kama Gedolim went with, that it's a question of how close the shave is. Shlomo Zalman says over there, and the same thing is brought in the Mechaz Yitzchak as well, that we said before, they both bring down that the Chazon Ish, somebody suggested the Chazon Ish, that maybe it depends on which types of shavers, and the person wanted to say that only the Shik electric shavers give a very close shave, and the other ones don't give such a close shave, and the Chazon Ish said that he tested it with all different types of varieties of electric shavers, and he actually tested it by putting some ink on his palm, and he put the shaver against the palm, the electric shaver, to see if it would shave off the ink, which would be a very close shave, and they all shaved off some ink, and that was the Chazon Ish understood from there, and the number of Gedolim bring him down, Shlomo Zalman, the Mechaz Yitzchak, others, that the Chazon Ish said from there that you see clearly that our electric shavers of today give you a very close shave, and in Meila, therefore, there's no way to matter it. The point here is that they're all going with these guidelines that are given based on the Mukhi Yosef, and that the Giluach Sheyesh B'Hashchasa is determined by how close the shave is, and if it's a very close shave, it's no longer falls under the category of Misparayim, but rather it falls under the category of Tar. Rav Moshe Feinstein, however, learned the sugya differently, and as a result of the fact that he learned the sugya differently, Rav Moshe came up with a completely different outcome when it got to the electric shaver, and he held that you can matter them, even assuming that they give a very close shave, close to the skin, because he had a different understanding of the sugya. Now, Rav Moshe's understanding and his psak that he said based on it is actually not recorded in any tshuva in the Igros Moshe. Nonetheless, a number of gedolei talmidim of Rav Moshe were made on this thing, Rav David Feinstein and a number of others, Rav Belsky said over from him, and a number of people people that they were made that Rav Moshe said this thing. Rav Moshe was matrid kama pa'amim, and he explained what his shita was. Now, the most clear exposition of this shita of the Igus Moshe of Rav Moshe Feinstein is actually brought down in the Sefer Megad Givos Oilom for a Michal Shurkin. And over there, he writes that he discussed it with Rav Moshe. He seems to have discussed it kama pa'amim with Rav Moshe. That's what it looks like in the Sefer. And I'm going to say over Rav Moshe's understanding of the sugya based on the way that Rav Michal Shurkin says it. Now, as it's Yadua that Rav Moshe said, and this is quoted from Kama Talmidim, that Rav Moshe said that the fundamental aspect of a scissors, which distinguishes from a shaver, from a razor, from a tar, the fundamental aspect is that when you cut hair with a tar, it's the sharpness of it which cuts, and one single blade, it doesn't take the coming together of two blades coming against each other to cut, like a scissors does in a scissors motion, but rather the sharpness of the single blade is sufficient to cut right through the hair. And that is the act of shaving with a tar, which is identified by the sugya in the Shulchan Aruch. The Rav Moshe said the Shulchan Aruch and the Rishonim speak about shaving with a tar, and that's the act of a tar, is that the sharpness of the single blade cuts right through the hair, and that's the act of shaving with a razor, which is also. Mashe Enkein says to Moshe, the scissors act, which is applicable to any situation which the blades are not in and of themselves sufficiently sharp that a single blade would cut through, but rather it requires the coming together of the two blades to cut it, like the compressing the item or the hair, whatever it is, between the two of them, and thereby they cut through. That's a fundamentally different act. That act is called the act of a cutting with a misparayim, and it's not called the act of giluach betar, and it doesn't fall fundamentally, said Rav Moshe, under the lois hasei of the Torah. Now this is explained further by Rav Michal Shurkin, because Emes, on the face of it, you could ask an obvious question, what is this different avios? I mean, where do we get the idea of the difference between cutting between two things and cutting with one thing, cutting with a single razor sharp edge, which is the loisei in the Torah of tar, cutting with two different things. The truth is, Rav Michal Shurkin writes that he heard from Rav Moshe a more broader hesber of this thing, a more clear articulated hesber of what Rav Moshe was saying, and what Rav Moshe explained over there was, and this is actually a thing which is certainly clearly true, Rav Moshe tainted that the act that a scissors utilizes actually doesn't involve cutting with sharpness at all. And for if you think about it, there are safety types of scissors that they sell to kids, that the scissors are not sharp at all. The blades are mamish not sharp. You put your finger against it and it's not sharp achlal. And neither of the blades is sharp. Afal pi kein, those scissors are perfectly able to cut paper and other things. They do a very good job of cutting. Why is that? So actually, he says that Rav Moshe said that the hesber is that they don't cut. The scissors, these types of scissors are not cutting. Rather, they're actually grinding into an act of toichein. And that actually is a very, very precise and focused explanation of what a scissors does. That's the truth. In other words, Rav Moshe pointed out that let's say I take wheat and I put it between two grindstones. The grindstones are obviously not sharp and they're not cutting the wheat, but if I grind it between the grindstones, it'll end up pulverized and it's going to end up completely ground down. That is exactly what Moshe says what happens when you take two blades of a scissors, neither of which is sharp, and you just grind, so to speak, the item between the two blades of the scissors so that the tiny bit that's caught between the two blades gets ground down and therefore ends up pulverized. And that's what happens. Moshe said, and that's how Rav Michal Shurkin brings it down, that when you use a scissors to shave, what you're actually doing is grinding a bit of hair, and that ends up severing the two segments of the piece of hair, rather than actually cutting it, because cutting by definition involves sharpness. And that's what Rav Moshe said, that the Torah only asks a giluach with a tar, which means using the sharp edge to cut. Scissors, assuming that the blade is not sharp and can't cut unto itself, it's just the convergence of the two blades that comes together, that's a fundamentally different act. It's not an act of cutting, it's not asked by the Torah. Now, I don't want to mention, the truth of the matter is that after all is said and done, is that the Rav Moshe's pshat still needs a yishuv in the sugya. It's widely pointed out that Rav Moshe apparently did not pass like the Muki Yosef, and this is discussed. Muki Yosef said affairs that the getter misparayim is that it leaves some hair, and Rav Moshe holds even if it leaves a perfectly smooth shave, it's still going to be mutter. So that's fine. Some to suggest that there are cholkim on the Muki Yosef, but in the Lashon HaGemara in and of itself, the Gemara is mavur that misparayim do have an act of giluach. It's just not a giluach sheyesh b'yashcha. So we said this over before. The Gemara says if it were just a loygalechu, I would say the misparayim scissors are included in the lois haseh. But now it says loisashchis, so you need a giluach that has a hashchasa, a destructive act of giluach, and that's where we're going to exclude the scissors. This is not completely moving according to Rav Moshe, 100% how we read that line. Because according to Rav Moshe, what it appears is that the scissors is a fundamentally different type of act. Rav Moshe went so far as to call it an act of grinding rather than an act of cutting. And therefore, consequently, it would appear offhand that the
the weakness with it is that it's not a giluach. It shouldn't really be an issue whether it's a hashchosa or not. And the Gemara says lamaisa that the scissors is excluded by virtue of not being a hashchosa. So this is the thing that needs a hesber in the shita of the Igus Moshe. But Rav Moshe Feinstein, based on this understanding, said that the hafchana, the determining litmus test about whether electric shaver is mutter or not, is not going to be how close the shave is. Contrary to Kama Gedolim that came before him and many Israeli Gedolim that passed the halacha, Rosh Mazalman, the Chazanish, many Israeli Gedolim that held that you have to determine how close the shave is. And that's where Rosh Mazalman, the Moshel, Takatayna, that the only way you could use an electric shaver is to make sure you have to get some kind of model that mamish leaves a bits of hair, so you put your hand over your face and all over the face you could feel the hairs sticking out. That would be the only way, he said, that you'd be able to make it. And Pashtus, in other words, electric shavers of today, you wouldn't be able to make it. And that was his opinion, the opinion of Kama Gedolim of Eretz Yisrael. But Moshe, however, had a completely different result, and he held that the single determining factor is how sharp the blades are, and that's where Moshe went, and that, of course, is the derech of the Talmidim of Moshe. The way they determined if the electric shaver is the mutter is to feel the sharpness of the blades, and the meila, if the blade is very sharp, that it should be able to cut a hair all by itself without the scissors motion, the convergence of the blade, then it would be a tatar, it's osir. Mashen kain, if the blade is not sufficiently sharp unto itself, so then it would not be a tar. If it needs a scissors motion, automatically that will be matir it. Michael Shurkin points out an interesting thing according to this, which I really haven't seen others point out. And that is that he says that although it's very well known that the Chavetz Chaim Likutei Halachos asked shaving with the shavers, and this is widely quoted by a number of Israeli Gedolim that Chavetz Chaim asked it, he says that even granted the Chavetz Chaim asked shaving with the shavers of his time, it has no shaychas to the Moshe Feinstein psak on the electric shavers, and there's no shum raya, he said, that the Chavetz Chaim would have argued under Moshe Feinstein and would have asked the electric shavers. Because the truth of the matter is, and this is an interesting observation, that the Chavetz Chaim, Likutei Halachos, it came out before, there's three volumes of Likutei Halachos, and they were printed right around the 1900 or so. Before or after 1900, you can look at the printing dates, you see over there, they were put out somewhere between Tofesh Samach and Tofesh Pei Beis. Tofesh Pei Beis, by the way, is 1922. So those, at that time, he points out, and this is accurate, that the electric shavers were not on the market at all. The first electric shaver was mass-produced by Jacob Schick in the United States in the year 1930, which is well after Likutei Halachos came out. Chavetz Chaim was not talking about electric shavers when he asked shaving. He was talking about the mechanical safety razors that they were using. A safety razor, in other words, is a razor that you operate with your hand, but it has a safety bar under it so that it doesn't cut into the skin of the chin, and it leaves a little bit of length of hair there because of the safety bars that the razor can't go all the way up against the face. So that was a discussion, and a number of Gedolim, we said, and other Gedolim, the Hartzvi, and others, they held that that's not called Yesh by Hashchosa because it leaves a little bit of a length of the hairs, and therefore they were matir, and that was the minig of the Bnei Yeshivas at that time. And the Chavetz Chaim held that you can't rely on that very small amount of length that's left, and he held that it is called the Giloch Yesh by Hashchosa. But none of that, says R' Michal Shurkin, is negated to R' Moshe Sforah on the electric shavers because actually, that was mamash a regular razor and was cutting with the sharpness of the blade. What we are talking about today, Chavetz Chaim, who says he may not have asked it at all. Maybe he would have agreed with Moshe Feinstein, and that is that Moshe said that our electric shavers of today, they cut in a different manner. They cut by means of a scissors manner is what they have. In other words, our electric shavers have a blade that is constantly rotating, and it catches and it rotates and it shaves it up against the blade that's static, and thereby uses a constant scissors motion, and thereby it cuts the hairs. So there it is, a scissors motion, Moshe says. He says the blades aren't sharp enough to do the job themselves. It's really like a grinding between the blades, and that is a special function of the electric shavers that we have today, and that has nothing to do with what the Chavetz Chaim was addressing. And you don't see in the Chavetz Chaim that he went against Moshe Feinstein's Svara and would have disagreed with Moshe. This is the big chilukei dayos, but again, to understand the sugya, but again, to understand what the hetam esparayim is, which in turn determines whether this big machloikis, whether it's mutter to shave with an electric shaver of the modern day shavers of today. Of course, even according to Rav Moshe, not all shavers are mutter, and in present day terms, it's well known from a number of mafurisim de gemoy heroi in the United States, based on Rav Moshe's psak, that they say that you're not supposed to use the micro screen shavers, you're not supposed to lift and cut. The details of that is not to get to this shear, but the basic idea there is that those particular shavers do utilize the blade that's able with a sufficient sharpness, and it's able to cut all by itself unto itself in the manner of a razor, and doesn't require the scissors motion, the convergence of the blades to cut, and mele, therefore those that be usher, even according to Rav Moshe. Rav Michael Shurkin is Messiah in the shtickel with an interesting and important observation when he get to the Rivon over here. He called it Rashi, I think, but it's the Rivon on the sugi over here. The Rivon is Mavur over here, that the Malakat Verehitni is Ein Derech Legaleach Boy. It's not the Derech to Megaleach with them, and since it's not the Derech, so therefore consequently it is a lack of Loyagalechu, it's not to fulfill the Loyagalechu, it's not the Derech Legaleach Boy. Now Rav Michael Shurkin points out there's a Meiri in Kedushin that actually says the Malakat Verehitni is not a Maisa Giluach at all. It's not a Giluach. It's now called Giluach Bechlal. What is this question about whether Malakat Verehitni is a Giluach, but it's not the Derech, and therefore it's not included in the Loyagalechu, say, or it's not a Giluach? So them Zokte, they're very poshut, and this is a very strong point, just to be Messiah in the Indian. He says on this that actually it depends on how you learn what a Malakat Verehitni is. If I hold, like the Shittas HaRambam, that a Malakat Verehitni is types of tweezers, so they taka don't have a Maisa Giluach at all. That's a fundamentally different act. It's an act of plucking out the hair rather than cutting the hair, and therefore it's not even a Maisa Giluach, and that the Meiri is taka right to say in Kedushin based on that derech that they don't even do a Giluach. Masha in came the Rivon over here, who is following his Shver Rashi, who Rashi writes in a whole bunch of places in Shas, that Malakat Verehitni are types of planes, which are flat, sharp metal pieces that are able to do a Giluach. It's just not the norm to use them to be Megalech. If them Zok, they're good. That that's why, if you loan that shot, the Malakat Verehitni, it's a question of whether it's the Derech. So that he says that Malakat Verehitni are in Derech Legalech, boy, and therefore, consequently, since it's the Malakat Verehitni are not the Derech, that's why they're Mutter. But if they would have, that's why if they would have, they would have been the Derech, Malakat Verehitni would have been the Derech, according to the Shittas Rashi Varivon, would automatically be Mamash Atar and would be Yasser. Mashengen, according to Ramam, even if it will become the Derech to utilize the tweezers to shave with, it would totally still be totally Mutter, because tweezers is not an act of Giluach at all. And similarly, this is what he said, that Rav Moshe understood that shavers are somewhat similar to that, and in broad terms. Shavers, obviously, the electric shavers of the day is the Derech to use all the time. People shave their beards all the time with these shavers. But Afal Pikein, regardless of the Derech or not, Afal Pikein does not call the act of Giluach Betar, which, like we explained before, and therefore, consequently, it doesn't include, it's not included in that which the Torah asers under the Ba'asakonim Le'eg Aleichu. The Mishnah discusses the Isser of Kesoyves Kaka, Lois Hasei of Kesoyves Kaka, which is making a tattoo. And fundamentally, as the Rishonim bring down, there's actually a two-step process in making a tattoo. One of them is making a laceration, a cut in the skin, and the other is filling the cut with this ink such that it makes some sort of an image, or we'll talk, some wording in the skin. So there's the making the laceration, and the other is the wording. Kesoyves Kaka, Pashtas, the Kaka is the laceration in the skin, and the Kesoyves is filling it with ink. There is a big Machlokes Rishonim over here in terms of what the Seder is in the Torah. The Rivon over here writes the Feirish that Koisev Tchila al Besoro. It's very interesting. In other words, for heels, at first you put the ink on the skin, and then you make the laceration, and it makes the ink sink into the laceration. So that's, in other words, he holds it's a two-step process, involves first inking and then making the cut. Mashenk in the Rambam, and Huchat Avodz Kachavim, brings down the Seder Fakert. In other words, according to the Rambam, you make the cut first, and only afterwards are you going to be put the ink in. And it seems to be, this is what seems to me in the Achrena, like we'll see in a moment, that this is actually Bedafka. In other words, that according to the Rivon, that this Dafka, that Seder, that's the violation of the Isur Torah of Kseves Kaka, first inking and then Kseves then Kaka, in other words, first inking and then making the laceration and the ink sinks in. The Rambam, whoever holds, that the norm would be the other way, and that's the way the Torah gave it, only making the laceration first and only afterwards inking it, and that would be the voice of Seder Raisa. There's a rather remarkable shtickle in the Ruchon Fisher Perla on the Sefer Mitzvah of Saji Goin, in which he tainas that there's a big problem with the way the Reb Sadi Goin brings down this Lois essay. Now, as you may be familiar, the Reb Sadi Goin has two different lists of the Taryag Mitzvahs. One of them is referred to by Reb Fischel Perla throughout as the Minyan HaMitzvah of Sadi Goin, which is a poem, and that's the Sefer HaMitzvahs that Reb Sadi Goin that the Reb Fischel Perla wrote a long parish on. And the other, there's a separate list that he also written by Reb Sadi Goin called the Azhorois of Reb Sadi Goin, another independent list, which is zugestellt and discussed a lot by Reb Fischel Perla in his parish on the Sefer HaMitzvahs. So Reb Fischel Perla says that there's a big problem here in these two different listings of the Besajik Goin, these two different Sfarim of Besajik Goin, how it brings in the Isser of Ksevis Kaka. But in the Minyan HaMitzvois, in the Sefer HaMitzvah of Besajik Goin, he brings out the Lashon of Ksevis. You know, it's very Bekitzer, it's a poem, it's very Bekitzer Nimrod. He just uses one word, Ksevis, and that is the way he refers to the Ksevis Kaka. Mashenk in the Azhoros, he brings it down with the word Kaka and leaves out the word Ksevis. And the Torah says Ksevis Kaka. And yet, oddly enough, which is really two steps, you know, one of them is the inking and the other is the incision. However, the Sajid Goin in one place brings it down as Ksevis, in the other place he brings it down as Kaka. In one place he discusses the inking, and the other place he brings it down in terms of the incision. Both are really very, very odd. How could he just bring down one in one place and just the other in the other place? Rav Perla has a big arichas on this, that his teretz is extremely intriguing. He actually claims that both of these rechonings, both of these writings in the Midian HaMitzvahs and in the Azhoras, both are saying a very big yisoid, but Rav Sajid Goin was choyzer from one prat between one sefer and the next. And this is how he explains it. He says, and actually imagine that a person would just do one and not the other. He would only do the inking, and he would not even do the ksav, or not even do the kaka, the incision, just the incision and not the inking. As we'll see in a moment, there's a whole shaila whether that's usher altogether, but it's certainly, even if it is usher, it's not a deraisa. Rav Perla holds, however, that it would be usher at chatzi shir, usher min ha-Torah. Now, without getting into a barichus, this actually is referred to in achronim, this type of chatzi shir, as a chatzi shir be'ichus, which means a qualitative chatzi shir. Normally, chatzi shir osam ha-Torah means that, for example, if I eat a kezayis of nevela, I get a oinish of the Torah, I get malchus. In a small volume of it, not a kezayis, then I'm over at the raisa, but not malchus. In other words, I did the mamish 100% the act that the Torah identified, but I didn't consume a shir sholem. You do find in achronim, in a number of places, they discuss a case in which the Torah answered on the raisa level a series of acts, and I did part of the series. That's called a chatzi shir be'echus, a qualitative chatzi shir, and there are achronim that suggest in different places that might be included in chatzi shir osam ha-Torah as well. Rav Perla goes like that in the Das of Sajid Goin. See, he says that's why Rav Sajid Goin in one place brought down Ksoivis, because just inking alone is going to be a Torah level violation, which he claims will be mamash nichal in the loisa say of Ksoivis Kaka. Even if he just inked it, it's not a shir sholem, and you're not going to get malchus, you didn't complete it, but afal pihin is mamash nichal in the loisa say in the gather of chatzi shir. That's what he claims. And in the Azhorois, he brings down Kaka, just making the incision, even without filling with ink, you make the incision in a particular manner of letters, etc., like we'll see, and under those circumstances, you're over on the Issa Deiraisa of Chatzi Shir, and you're included in the Loisa, say, just you didn't complete it mamish, and therefore, you are not going to get the punishment, you're not going to get the Oinish. So, since over there, Rav Sajid Goin is not discussing Onshim, he's just discussing the Loisa, says, he brings on Ksoivis in one place, and Kaka in the other, but in there, Rav Perla says that what? He says that Rav Sajid Goin was Choyzer from one Machon to the next, Benegeh to this Machloikas, Rivon of the Rambam. In other words, Benegeh in the Sefer HaMitzvah of Sajid Goin, he was going like the Das Rivon, that the Seder of the Loisa says Ksevis first, then Kaka. The person just the first step alone, which is the Ksevis alone, the inking alone, he'll be over, according to this understanding, on an Issa Deraisa of Chatzi Shir. He didn't complete it and won't get the Oinish, the Malkus, but Alpha Pekin is over on a Deraisa. Mash inking, as Horus, he was Choyzer, and he was going over there, like the Das Rambam, that the incision is made first, and then you do the inking, and that's the Seder of the Loisa say first the incision and the inking. So if you do the incision alone, according to the Das of the Azhoras, according to that understanding, you're over on Chatzi Shir. You did the first step, you didn't do the second step. So that's why over there he brings it down with the Lashon of Kaka, because over there he's saying that the first step, according to the Das, is Das and Azhoras, is the Kaka, is the incision, like the Das of Rambam. And the first step alone is sufficient to be over in Issa Deraisa of Chatzi Shir, and that's why the Rambam brings down Kaka in the Azhoras. This is actually a very, very Mechudosh understanding, Fashteitzuch. It goes without saying. And it's all based on this idea that he understands that, actually, two nekudas. First, he's understanding that Chatzi Shir could apply to a thing like this, where the Torah asked a Seder of Maizim, and you did part of the Seder and didn't complete it, which itself is a very big chiddush and a tumul on the Achronim. Secondly, he's learning that Chatzi Shir will be Nichal on the Loisa say to the point that Rabsajid Goin will reckon it and flatly as the Loisa say. And in the Sefer HaMitzvahs will bring it down as Ksaivis. That's it. That's enough to make a violation of the Loisa say, even though you can complete it. And then, in and of itself, is a very big chiddush, even if I call it a Chatzi Shir, but perhaps I could have said that the Shem Loisa say Mamish is only violated in a case in which you did the entire Seder Hadvorim. This is all Rav Perla's understanding of the Sajid Goin. Pashtus Vashteitzuch, we don't go like that, Lahalacha, we don't hold that there's a Chatzi Shir Osam and a Torah, if a person will, for example, just ink, put the ink on his hands without making the incision, and the Michas Chinuch actually discusses the Shaila Lahalacha Lamaisa, what is the din actually, Benegeh to somebody who inks on his skin and doesn't make the incision. So he didn't do all the steps of the Ksevis Kaka, is he in violation of any kind of Isser, or the Rabbanon, or whatever it is, of tattooing? Michas Chinuch brings in a Tosfos that's mevur that there is in fact the Issa Drabonon on just inking without making the incision, and in fact the Mechasinuch says that's the Pasha the Lashon of our Mishnah. The Mishnah says Kosav Leikaka, Kosav Leikosav, Ein Echayev Ad Sheyuchta VeYikakeya, etc. So it's clearly Mashma Ein Echayev. In other words, you're not Chayev the Lois, I say the Malkus, but Alkoponon there is a Pasha the Issa Drabonon, and it brings in a Tosfos, and Mechasinuch says that that really ought to be the Din LaHalacha, that inking without making the incision is going to be Issa Drabonon. Now he brings down from the Sefer Mishnas Chachomim that the Mishnas Chachomim claimed that there's not even Issa Drabonon, and he felt that that's mashma that in Lashon Rambam, because the Rambam doesn't bring down anywhere if a person just inks or just cuts, he gets makas mardus, and in the opinion of the Mishnas Chachomim, that's a raya that there's no Issa Drabonon. He doesn't bring down the Rabonon to go lashes, the makas mardus, so therefore he's medayik from Rambam, there isn't even Issa Drabonon to do just one step, and the Mishnas Chachomim goes further and says that that's the minig ha'olam, because you see people are not makbid from putting inking various letters and designs and things on their skin, like we'll see, and why aren't they makbid? It should be also the abonon. So you see clearly that we go with this diik and Rambam, we hold the diik is correct, and we pass in that way that there's not even an issa de abonon to do the inking alone of ekseves kaka. Mechas Chinuch says that he considers to be a very shvach diik, the whole diik and Rambam is shvach, and you're going against often a toisis that he quotes, that there is an issa de abonon to ink. The Mechas Chinuch says, I the minig ha'olam, he says that kasha doesn't even start, because it's true that the velt does ink things and they write things on their skin, but he says that vibalt that is brought clearly in the poiskim that the whole issur is only ksav she'inim cheches, it's only usur if it's indelible, and people not in the habit, Dr. Mechas Chinuch, of writing indelible writings on their skin, who's going to do that anyway? If you do it, it's a drabanan, but people do it in a way that's not indelible, it's washable and it comes off, and in such a case, so the Mechas Chinuch that's bor anyhow, that it wouldn't be nichal into the shayla, and that's anyhow mutter, but he says, avadu we do paskan lahalacha, he claims, like the toises that he quotes, that there is an issur d'rabbanan of just inking alone. Now, we need to know what kind of writing is going to be a violation of Ksevis Kaka. It's going to be indelible writing, it's going to be leaching into the incision in the skin, it's going to be a tattoo, but what kind of writing is it? And let's just right off the bat, let's run off four possibilities. That's Mavur and the Achroinim that we'll talk about, Shoinim, Achroinim, get into. So let's just go with the possibilities. One possibility is it has to be a Ksiva Gemur, it has to be, you have to write down an entire two letters similar to Shabbos, Koisish the Yoisius. Now, Rav Shimon's Shita for states the Chanao Mishnah is the only Chai if you write down the name of the Avodah Zorah Mamash. It has to be an entire word, the name of an Avodah Zorah. However, the Paiskim don't paskin like Rav Shimon, we paskin like the Chachomim, and we paskin that even if you don't write down the name of the Avodah Zorah, you're Chayev, but maybe it has to be mamish two letters, like a ksiva on Shabbos. Maybe, on the other hand, one letter is sufficient, and you don't need a ksiva on Shabbos. Maybe I don't need a letter at all, I can write any kind of a design. Or maybe, even if it's not a design, any kind of marking on the skin altogether in the manner of a tattoo with the incision and the ink leaching into it, maybe that's going to be already going to be a violation of ksivas kaka. So you got the four possibilities. Which of them is correct? Now, on this, a number of achroinim over here, the achroner over here, and a number of achroinim bring down the Sefer Chinuch. And the Sefer HaChinuch says a chiddush. The Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Reish Nun Gimel writes down that the Isra of Ksevis Kaka is the over on that, and the over al zeh, zot the Sefer HaChinuch, the kosav afilu ois achas, even one letter, b'chomokum b'shebegufay, b'in zeh shabaynu, is going to be in violation. So the Sefer HaChinuch says b'feirish, that yochayev even on one ois, and it's apparently not demid Shabbos in his opinion. Shabbos the only chayiv v'koisiv shtei oisius. It's like a word. It's two oisius together. Over here, it's chayiv even a one ois, and it's mashman in Sefer HaChinuch, and the Aruch Hanan makes a diak over here that apparently writing a design, writing a picture, writing something like that is not going to be the Torah level violation of koksevis kaka, because in his opinion, it's only if you are going to write a letter. Now, there's a number of achorinim that tumble about this back and forth. The Sefer Mayan HaChochma, which we've quoted other times, it's a chibur on the minyan of mitzvahs. The Mayan HaChochma is massive on this opinion of the Sefer HaChinuch, and he says that he doesn't know of any mark of the Sefer HaChinuch to Mechalek between this and Shabbos. He says, just like my Shabbos, Ksav is only a Ksav if it's Koisev Shtei Oisius, the Meleches Koisev, you're only a violation if you write two letters. So, therefore, consequently, Zog there, no reason to think that Ksev is Kaka is different. The Pasuk of Befer is Ksoives Kaka. So, therefore, it should be the same as a Ksav on Shabbos, and you should only be Chayev if you are Koisev the Shtei Oisius. He argues in Mechas HaChinuch, and he wants to say it's only if it's shtei oisius. Now, the Miltstocker, which is one of the Gedolei Achorim, the Tshuvas Miltstocker, says, he discusses on his own, and he says that there's no Tzushtel to Shabbos. Avada Zokter, it's richtig that you chayv even an ois achas. Ashai, Shabbos, you only chayv a shtey oisies. So at the Shabbos, you need dumi the melechas a mishkan. The Shabbos is a klal with all the 39 melechas of Shabbos, then you're only in violation if you do an act that's comparable to melechas a mishkan. The melechas a mishkan, they wrote down two oisies, so therefore, that's what then all melechas of Shabbos of Kaysev is only with two oisies, but over here, Xavis Kaka has nothing to do with the Mishkan, and therefore writing one ois is sufficient in Mechayev. Now, the truth is you can mirach on this Miltstocko, but I just want to point out Bekitza Nimrods that actually there's a very big tumult on this point, and this really in and of itself is not so poshit that it's mad to the Mayan Chochma. Because really there's a big machloikas Rishonim in the Melechas Koisev and Mesech the Shabbos and Shabbos Kuf Gimbal, a big machloikas Rashi and Rambam, Benegeya, to exactly what went on over there in the Mishkan. It's Mavur in the Gemara and the Mishnah over there that they used to write letters numbers on the kroshim to be able to match them up properly, and that was the kaisev that they did in the Mishkan. The Shittas Rashi is that they used to write Aleph on one edge of one keresh and Aleph on the other edge of the other keresh, and they would put the Aleph and match it up with the Aleph, or Beis and match it up with the Beis, etc., etc., and that was the manner by which they would do the kaisev in the Mishkan. And according to Rashi, you did have the shtei oisius, and it's richtig what the Miltstocker says, that the kaisev in the Mishnah was the shtei oisius. You have one letter and another letter would be matched up together, and this is the manner, the koyf of the Mishkan, the koyf of the Mishkan by definition, in other words, involves shtei oisius according to Rashi, because it involved writing on one keresh and the other keresh in a way that they'll be matched up and they'll be flush one against the other. However, the Rambam in the Pirush of Shnayos doesn't go like this, and he holds that they simply number the kroshim. Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Yud, Yud, Aleph, Yud, Beis, Yud, Gimel. And the Rambam really is mavur that the lower numbers of the kroshim simply had Aleph and Beis and Gimel and Dalet, and there wasn't necessarily two oisius over there. The halacha of koyf of the oisius according to Rambam is not based on Dumi the Melech of Mishkan, because the Melech of Mishkan, some of the kroshim had two oisius, you know, Yud Tes and Yud Ches and Yud Zayin, and some didn't have two oisius. There's an independent halacha according to the Rambam that koyser shtei oisius is dafke shtei oisius, and it's not based on the fact that you need doimit melechas mishkan. Therefore, be'emes what the Mayan Chochma says is not so poshut. It may possibly be defensible if you go like the Rambam, and it could be that it's not an act of a koyser b'chlal if it doesn't have shtei oisius. Shtei oisius is what it takes to comprise a word. You can't have a word without a combination of letters. So therefore, two oisius is a minimal combination of letters, and that's what it takes to be a word. And Meila, that's what you find by Mishkan, and who adin that you could argue to defend the Mayan Chochma that is equally true b'negeah to Kseves Kseves Kaka. Moreover, without getting into Barichos, the truth is the Mechas Chinuch in the Musach HaShabbos brings down from the Morgin Ovois that they hold of a very big chiddush that if a person is Kseves or certain other Malachos, a Kseves only one ois and Shabbos and not two oisius, they not even over Chatzis Shiros from the Torah. And Mishabruin and Shemem Paskins, you are over Chatzis Shiros from the Torah if you write one ois. The Mechas Chinuch and the Morgin Ovois hold that you're not, because they say that one ois is not the ma'isa malacha. The malacha of koisev is dafka a tzira, a combo of letters, a combination. If you have one letter alone, it's a drabonon, but it's not going to be the tzira of malacha, and it's not even the chatzis shiros malatir. It's bechlal not the malacha, in their opinion. And therefore, there is a mokum to taina that possibly, if that's true, that it's not a malacha of Shabbos without shtei oisius, you could argue that Mayan Chochma might be right over here too. That's presumably where he's coming from. This idea that who then it's not a koisev at all, but negatik sevis kaka. It's not a sheni, it's not muchrach, because you could say that the shem malacha on Shabbos involves a particular chashivas. It's not just an act of kosev, it's an act of malacha. Malacha on Shabbos is a gevissa oftur, it's a gevissa achievement, all malachas achieve something. So the fact that the Mechas Chinuch and the others hold that you're not even doing a maleches kosev at all with one ois is not in of itself a raya that it's not a ksiva, it might just be a raya that it's not a malachas kosev. And obviously, ksiv is kaka, to do a malacha, so therefore there's no raya to the Mayan Chochma. But what I'm just saying, the Mayan Chochma is a defensible shitter that he holds that Shabbos is doimit to ksiv is kaka, and when the dame and we say that without the shtei oisius, you're not in violation of the Kseves Kaka. Now, the Aruch Ner over here discusses this Sefer HaChinuch, and the Aruch Ner comes up with a different shaila. He says that he doesn't even sure, it's not clear to him where the mocker of the Chinuch was to assume that you have to write letters dafka. The Chinuch says you have to write an oisachas, you have to write a letter. So, up there, on the one hand, it's true that it does say HaKoisev, Kseves Kaka, and that's the Lashon over here in the Mishnah, the Lashon HaPosik is Koisev, but he says in his opinion, the Aruch Ner says, it's actually mashman the sugya segemara that even if you write some sort of any sort of a marking on the skin, any kind of a sarita, a marking with inking on the skin, regardless of whether it's letters or not, it's going to be the deraisa, because he says the gemara has a whole machloikus over here benegir to efer agabe hamako. You put certain types of ash on top of the wound, and the ash has the appearance or leaves the appearance of it looking like a tattoo, and therefore the machloikus in the gemara over here, if you're going to say that that's a isudra bonon of kseves kaka, because because it leaves the appearance of looking like a tattoo. The fact of them, the Aruch Haner, where's the appearance of a tattoo? If a tattoo has to have dafka letters, it has to have koitsev and ksoivas, why should it look dafka like a letter? And you see clearly that the Rabbonon, at least on the Rabbonon level, it would appear that it's also even without a letter. And he says, Pashtus, that's because on the Raisa level, it's also even without a letter. And therefore, it's also just any kind of markings, any kind of tattoo at all, regardless of lettering or not. And that's why the Rabbonon come along, according to Oman the Omer and the Aser, even Afer on top of the Mako, on the Rabbonon level. So he says, Bechlal, that it's not clear to him where this is going to be coming from, the Sefer HaChinuch, that's Mashma, it's only with lettering Dafka. But he says, as far as the question of the Sefer HaChinuch, that one letter is enough to Mechayev, and two is not necessary, it doesn't take two letters, he says, my brother already wrote about this discussion in the Sefer, in the journal, the Tchoyveres of Chodushi Torah, Shemetzi and Anemon. Now, Shemetzi and Anemon is a collection of European Chayveris, the journal that came out regularly in Europe in the late 19th century, and Be'etzim, until recently, there was no way to get a hold of it. However, nowadays, all these journals are available in the Oitzah Chochma, and I actually went to the trouble of looking it up. I found the shtickle from Reb Leib Etlinger, that's the Aruch Haner's brother, Reb Leib Etlinger. He has a big arichus over there about Ksevis Kaka. I've been Makatzer Harbe, there's a lot to mefalpel on what he says there. But what I wanted to point out is that he discusses the fact that the Sefer HaChinuch says that one letter is enough to mechayev you, and he says like this, that there's two places in Rishonim over here where it seems to be like the Sefer HaChinuch. Why? One place is the Rivon in the beginning of the Mishnah, that the Rivon over here says, in the first stickle of the Mishnah, among Ksevis Kaka, also lichtoiv shum ksiva ba'olam abasorish inyunze, in other words, in the manner of a tattoo, you can't write any ksiva in the world on your basar, shakach gzeras akosid, that's the gzeras akosid. So the lashon of shum ksiva ba'olam is a strong lashon, any ksiva at all, it's mashma to Reb Leib Etlinger, the Aruch Haner's brother, that supports the Sefer HaChinuch, and even one letter alone is sufficient, even without two letters. The truth is, you came out with that raya, because it could be the word shum ksiva ba'olam is just lafuk in front of Shimon, later in the Mishnah, if Shimon holds the only oiver on ksivas kaka, if you write the name of the idolatry, the name of the idol, the Hashem of Edazora. So on that we're saying, Tanakamo holds shum ksiva ba'olam, it's not necessarily a raya that one letter alone is sufficient. So that's not necessarily such a strong raya. But the interesting, he brings down the lashon with dvo over here, that the dvo over here says that Rav Shimon is logical in a way. Rav Shimon holds that the derech of the Ovid Gelulim is that they tattoo the Shem of the Avodah Zorah onto their flesh, and therefore that's what the Torah was asking with the Shem of the Avodah Zorah. The Tanakama, however, held that even though that was the derech of the Ovid Gelulim, that they tattooed the Shem of the Avodah Zorah, but Hifriz, Hakosa the Mida, the Torah went very, very far, extensively asking the Osar Kol Rishimah, it asks any marking at all. So that lotion of Kol Rishimah that the Ritva uses, the Reb Leib Etlinger said that that's mashma, even one letter. Now that's 100% true. The lashon of kol reshima, any reshima, is mashma, even one letter. The emes is, though, that the lashon of kol reshima is really mashma like the Aruch Haner. It's mashma, even, it doesn't even take a letter. Any kind of marking at all is sufficient. So the emes in that lashon of dvo is really a mashma, mashmo is to go beyond the Sefer HaChinuch and to say, like the Aruch Haner himself does clearly say over here, that any kind of mark on the skin at all, if it's in the manner of a tattoo with an incision, etc., is going to be an issa deraisa. Mechas Chinuch actually comes out like this. Mechas Chinuch brings down the lashon of the Rambam and the Yad, that the Rambam and the Yad says that the gedder of Ksevis Kaka is sheyisoreit al besoroit, to make the incision in the skin, the yamali hasrita koil, to fill the srita with ink, and the Rambam just says yisoreit al schoroit. There's no mamish, no mention over there in the Rambam and the Yad in Hilchos Avodah Zarah that is dafka or lettering, and the mail of the Mechas Chinuch mamish comes out like this thing based on the lashon of the Yad that the oiver is a derisa of tattooing even if it doesn't have any particular lettering. He brings down that the sefer Yad Haktan, one of the Achroinim said that even will assume, like those shitas that hold that Yemechayev without lettering, but Afal Pikein, it's Dafka, where it's a picture of some kind, it's symbolic of something, represents a representation of something. Stamazoi, that there's some kind of marking on the skin which is not a representation of anything, that the Araktana said is not going to be a violation of Ksevis Kaka. However, although the Araktana says it's a Mechachinuch Mefakpekiv on that, he says it's very sosim, and the Loshna Yad and the Rambam that we mentioned before, it doesn't indicate even that it has to be a representation of something. And the Mechas Chinuch wants to suggest, not like the Yad HaKtana, that even if you present just any kind of marking on the skin, any kind of tattoo, even nothing representation of any kind of entity of any way, Afal Pi Kein is going to be a total deraisa of Ksevis Kaka. One last point, when I get to the Mishnah on the base, the Mishnah brings down, and we'll discuss more mitzvah Hashem this discussion, about a person who does a single act of being choyresh, and he's chayav mishmoin alavin, and the Mishnah gives a complicated case, and the bottom line is that he was choyresh, he did the act of plowing with a shor and a chamor together, so it's klayim, etc., etc., and he did all this on yontif as well, so you have a number of violations, including the loisa say, and the malchus, of being choyresh on yontif. There is a very fundamental question over here, in the Rishayim, when you get to understanding the Pashup Shad here. L'chayra, the act of Chayrish was done not by the person himself. He wasn't pulling the plow. That's not the case of the Mishnah. The case of the Mishnah is clear that the act of the Chayrish of the plowing was being done by the animals. They were being the Shayr and the Chamor doing the act. So it says that if you do that on Yontif, you're going to get Malkus. You're going to get Loike for the Loisase of being Chayrish on Yontif. Now, isn't it true that even though you're not the person personally who did the act, because it was your animals who did the act, you were leading the animal and you caused the animal to do the act, that therefore you are going to get the Malkus, and the Loisa say the Malkus are being Chayrish on Yontif. Is that a richtig thing? Is that emes? Because the act is Nisiachus passed primarily to the animals and not to you, and therefore who says that you will get the Loisa say of being Chayrish on Yontif? But there's really a shayla in the Rishayim, and there's two basic drachim on this in the Rishayim. The Ramban's Shitta in the Hasogas on the Sefer Mitzvah Rambam and the Chiddushim on Shas, and the Ramban in a couple of places writes that the correct answer to this question is that we are miyaches, we attribute the act of Harisha of plowing primarily to the person, the human being who's leading the animals, rather than to the animal. Aye, it's shver, because the animal is doing the physical act of the plowing. Zatavtem the Ramban, no. Since the person is putting the oil, the yoke, on the animal, and he's being koivesh oiso tachas yodoiv reshuso hi emedes, so he's in active control of that animal, he's controlling it at every step, he's got that yoke that's on the animal, the person is in constant control, so therefore, kol ha-malacha al shem ha-odom hi, uboi hu toloi, ve'eina behemo elo kekeli biad ha-omun. That's the lashon of the Ramban. The behemo is simply like a tool that the person is utilizing, he's the one in full control, and the act is nisyachas to him, and that's why it's called his ma'isa choyesh, even though it's technically being done by the animal. That's the shittas ha-Ramban. The Ramban is masig on the shittas ha-Rambam, which in the Yad, the Ramban is actually mavur, that in his opinion, this case where the person leads the animal and the animal plows, I would not have known it from the simple pasuk of Lysasaka Malacha. I wouldn't have known it because you didn't do the Malacha yourself. It was done primarily with the animal. The Rambam Shitta is that we only know that this thing is actually a violation of Shabbos based upon the fact that the pasuk says Lysasaka Malacha, Ato, etc., etc., Behemtecha. So it says Ato Behemtecha. And the Shitta of Rambam is that once I have the pasuk of Amtu, Ato Behemtecha, which is a joint act that's done jointly between you and your animal, so the Torah is saying that that act is called the Maisa Malacha, and the Rambam holds that that's a Chiddush HaKro, Benegeta Harisha, Benegeta Plowing, that the Pasuk is being Mechayev you for that joint act, and the Rambam says that on Shabbos you will be over on Skila and Vechatos, if it would be done on Shabbos, such a thing. That's why the Mishnah over here only picks Yontif. If it's Yontif, then you get Malkus, because on Shabbos it would have been Skila Vechatos. I, the Maisa, was a joint act. The Shittas Rambam is that there's a Gila HaKro, and Atu Behemtecha, that this joint act of being Choyresh, where the person is very heavily involved, of course, the animal is there, just as much involved and more in the opinion of the Rambam. But the person is very heavily involved, so therefore the Gila HaKro from Atu Behemtecha is that this type of a joint Choyresh, the person gets the full violation of the Skil of Achatas, it would be Shabbos. Rather, the Mishnah says that since it was Yontav and not Shabbos, so therefore he's going to get Malkus. That's the opinion of the Rambam, and the Ramban is masik on this Rambam. The Ramban Tain is, if that would be true, Zokter, that you need a special Gila HaKro on Shabbos of Atu Behemtecha, then I would not know this Chiddush B'negeir to Yontif. Our Mishnah is discussing Yontif. Our Mishnah is assuming, obviously, you get Malkus for a Yontif. Where are you going to see it, Zokter? Tainach, Shabbos, the Pasuk says, Atu Behemtecha. Yontif, I don't have any such special Pasuk of Atu Behemtecha. And if it really takes a special Pasuk, how are you going to know it on Yontif at all? And Mayo, the correct chat is like me, that the act is primarily Nisyachas to the person, Dafka, because in full control, and the animal is just like a Kaili in the hands of the Umman. That's the Ramban's opinion. And this, the Achorinim say, the Klichemda brings down from the Egli Tal, that the Achorinim Taina, the Ramban didn't hold it as Kasha. He held that Yontif is Shabbos Echor Heim, Yontif and Shabbos are one thing. I don't need a special pasuk of Avtu Behemtecha on Yontif. Once I find what the Klolim Lacha are on Shabbos, Benegia to Skil of Achatas, I automatically extrapolate from there to Yontif as well, Benegia to Malkus. And therefore, in the opinion of the Rambam, I need a special pasuk of Avtu Behemtecha to tell me that the joint act of plowing is going to be Mechai of the Adam, and Shabbos and Mechai of Skil of Achatas, and who are doing Lana now own from there to Yontif, that you're going to get the Malkus as mentioned by the Mishnah.
You have been listening to a shiur from shasilluminated.org. For other shiurim on any daf in Shas, including Myra McClamis on each shiur, please visit shasilluminated.org. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the daf worldwide. We can be reached at 203-312-SHAS, or you can email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.